Welcome to the August 19th, 2025 Annals of Internal Medicine podcast. If you're here because you want a quick summary of the new material you'll find on annals.org, you've come to the right place. Let's get started. The first article I'll mention is a study that examines U.S. trends in oncologist subspecialization. Subspecialization, meaning an oncologist who focuses on the care of patients with one type of cancer rather than caring for a broader array of cancers. The researchers studied Medicare claims data from over 3.2 million fee-for-service Medicare beneficiaries initiating chemotherapy between 2008 and 2020. The five most common cancer categories among beneficiaries were breast, gastrointestinal, hematologic, prostate, genitourinary, and thoracic. The researchers assessed trends in subspecialization of oncologists by classifying them based on the proportion of chemotherapy episodes they manage for specific cancer types annually. To assess changes over time in the proportion of chemotherapy episodes by cancer type and across hospital referral regions that were overseen by an oncologist whose practices focused on a single type of cancer, the researchers examined the proportion of chemotherapy episodes each year that were managed by a subspecialist of the relevant cancer type. They found that between 2008 and 2020, the proportion of chemotherapy episodes managed by a subspecialized oncologist increased from 9% to 18% and varied across five most common cancer types in 2008. However, by 2020, the proportion of cancer types managed by subspecialized oncologists increased significantly. The gap between the number of chemotherapy episodes managed by subspecialists in the largest hospital referral regions versus smaller ones grew significantly during the time period as well, with the largest hospital referral regions having 33.4% of episodes managed by subspecialists, whereas the smallest hospital referral regions had only 9.6%. The researchers also found that subspecialist utilization did not align with local cancer burden as measured by county-level mortality, suggesting that areas with higher cancer burden had lower utilization of subspecialist care. While subspecialization within oncology has increased significantly, differences in the utilization of subspecialists mirror broader patterns of delayed adoption of medical innovations among physicians serving rural, low-income, and minority populations. An important limitation of the study is that it did not explore whether cancer care by a subspecialized oncologist was associated with better patient outcomes for individual patients. Next is a systematic review and meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials that assessed whether weight loss interventions before in vitro fertilization improved reproductive outcomes. After analyzing 12 trials that included 1,921 patients, the researchers concluded that weight loss interventions before IVF could increase the chances of pregnancy, especially unassisted conception, although the effect on live births was unclear. However, further high-quality clinical trials testing different weight loss interventions prior to in vitro fertilization are needed. In a new policy paper, the American College of Physicians offers recommendations to resolve current prescription drug shortages and suggests measures that policymakers can take to prevent shortages in the future. ACP's paper calls out medication shortages as a public health crisis that leads to poor health outcomes and places significant strain on physicians and the hospitals. To resolve present and future medication shortages, the paper suggests entities such as policymakers and health systems collaborate and prioritize public policy approaches and research. Equitable access to medications is a pillar of patient care, and ACP recommends establishing procedures to impartially distribute essential medications during a drug shortage. Policymakers and relevant entities should make reasonable accommodations that reduce physician and patient administrative burden brought on by medication shortages, such as extra billing and documentation requirements. ACP supports public policy approaches that strengthen medication supply chains, working to prevent future shortages while also implementing monitoring processes for existing or emerging shortages. Public and private entities procuring medication should use sustainable procurement practices that minimize and deter medication shortages, creating incentives that reward quality and transparency over low cost. During drug shortages, compound drugs can play an important role in meeting patient needs, particularly in the case that life-saving treatment is needed. However, the mass distribution of compound drugs during shortages should be time-limited to the duration of the shortage and not a fundamental component of the U.S. strategy to reduce drug shortages. ACP supports the importation of medications during periods of shortage in a safe and timely manner to address immediate need and recommends that any program to do so contains processes necessary to ensure quality and safety of imported medications. Finally, to mitigate business and market factors that contribute to shortages, ACP urges federal regulators to address anti-competitive business practices and promote a diversified manufacturing base. In a new Annals Beyond the Guidelines feature, an infectious diseases specialist and a cardiac surgeon discuss medical management, interventional approaches, and the value of multidisciplinary care for tricuspid valve endocarditis in a person who uses injection drugs. The experts discuss the treatment within the context of the American Heart Association's 2022 scientific statement on infective endocarditis. They focus on addiction, antibiotic therapy, and surgical management. Go to annals.org to view video of the grand rounds, read the accompanying article, and obtain CME and MOC credit. A systematic review and network meta-analysis compared blood pressure values obtained through different blood pressure measurement methods to provide a comprehensive comparison of blood pressure estimates across various blood pressure measurement methods at different blood pressure levels. The analysis found clinically important differences among blood pressure measurement methods, suggesting that using fixed conversion values to interpret measurements across methods may not be valid, especially at elevated blood pressure levels. And staying with the topic of blood pressure measurement, the next article reports a simulation model that explored the effect of measurement error on the cost-effectiveness of intensive systolic blood pressure targets among patients at high cardiovascular risk. The analysis found that an intensive target of less than 120 millimeters of mercury was cost-effective across many plausible levels of systolic blood pressure measurement error, and a target of less than 130 millimeters of mercury was cost-effective in scenarios with high measurement error. In 2017, the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association hypertension guidelines recommended a target of less than 130 millimeters of mercury rather than 120, citing concerns about error in routine practice systolic blood pressure measurements. The cost-effectiveness results suggest that even with routine practice measurement error, a target of less than 120 millimeters of mercury could provide good value in many settings. Overall, the researchers concluded that a target of less than 120 millimeters of mercury reduced cardiovascular events, improved quality-adjusted life expectancy, and was cost-effective under a wide range of scenarios. The target of less than 130 was cost-effective in scenarios with very high measurement error or high measurement error and a J-shaped relationship between systolic blood pressure, and cardiovascular risk. The Association for the Advancement of Blood and Biotherapies have issued international clinical practice guidelines for red blood cell transfusion for hospitalized patients with acute myocardial infarction. The guidelines recommend a liberal red cell transfusion strategy when hemoglobin concentration is less than 10 grams per liter. This is a conditional recommendation based on low certainty evidence. A summary of the guidelines relevant to physicians is published in Annals of Internal Medicine. To inform the guidelines, an international panel of experts performed a meta-analysis of four randomized controlled trials, including 4,311 patients, and followed grade recommendations to summarize evidence and formulate recommendations. The panel aimed to answer the following questions. For hospitalized patients with acute myocardial infarction, should red cell transfusion be initiated with a hemoglobin threshold of 7 to 8 grams per deciliter or a hemoglobin threshold of less than 9 to 10 grams per deciliter? The panel suggested red cell transfusion when the hemoglobin is less than 10. They found that there was moderate evidence that the liberal strategy does not result in an important increase in mortality. In contrast, they found that a restrictive strategy using a threshold of 7 to 8 grams per deciliter may result in increased mortality in patients with acute myocardial infarction. The panel placed a higher value on the uncertain potential benefits of a liberal strategy on reducing mortality than on the benefits of a restrictive strategy in conserving red cell units and reducing transfusion-related adverse events. The guidelines note that clinicians should adopt mitigation strategies to reduce potential adverse events associated with a liberal transfusion strategy, and all transfusion decisions should incorporate the clinical context rather than solely the hemoglobin concentration. The topic of this month's In the Clinic review is irritable bowel syndrome. Go to annals.org to refresh your knowledge about this common and often frustrating to manage condition. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and go to annals.org for the articles I've highlighted here and more. Thanks to Beth Jenkinson, Andrew Langman, and Bernie Turner for their technical support.